Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adatula.
I love this rejoice so much. It brings me right back to the summer when all the, well, nights. All,
before hell broke loose.
All the mess. Man, it was messy between Kendrick and Drake. Yeah, man. That was, what a time. What a time to be alive. And it's still a great time to be alive. We got playoff football coming up, baby. Let's
tonight,
go.
Let's go.
Tonight.
Playoff football tonight. That's right. Tonight.
Oh, yeah. That's
tomorrow
right.
night. Saturday.
Twice
Sunday,
on Saturday and
Monday.
Twice on Sunday.
There's
yeah.
a lot
Work
of.
On Monday.
There's
yeah.
so much playoffs. Oh, my goodness. And then, of course, that's just major sports, right? Mm-hmm. We started talking about niche sports. Myself and Figgy getting kind of hyped. Next week, Aussie Open start, baby.
Yeah, let's
we
go.
Got, we got major tennis coming too, man. super. Man, sports don't stop. Do it.
Yeah. Just Thank goodness for that.
God bless. Yeah. God bless. All right. But the most important one, not that I'm ranking them, but I am ranking them. The most important one is Saturday, 3:30 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 610, and of course, physically at NRG Stadium. The Texans welcome in the Los Angeles Chargers, and, you know, we've been talking all around this, right? The red zone, the blitzing, the, you know, explosive plays, the Ladd McConkey, all of this. But is there something that we might be missing? One of John Lopez's personal cliches. Are we missing the secret sauce?
The secret sauce. So listening to D'Amico, you know, kind of reminded me of this. It's like, oh yeah, he's awesome in the playoffs. D'Amico, his defenses. You go back to San Francisco when as a coordinator. Now.
Sorry, it just induced a laugh out of me just thinking about how good those San Francisco defenses
gosh.
Were under D'Amico Ryans.
I mean. And okay, let's go through it. Like D'Amico Ryans, his playoff defenses have been the secret sauce. I mean, let's not forget that. If you're like, oh, hey, because we all want the Texans to win, like, you know, path to victory. We know it's been defense, and we know how well this defense has played. Well, how much better have his defenses played in the postseason? All right, let's go to 2021. All right?
That was a year.
Let's just talk about – I looked at sacks, and I looked at – you know, times
of
possessions
crazy,
and all that stuff. I always look at sacks.
Mm-hmm. Who doesn't?
Exactly.
It's yards, an important metric.
Yards rushing that his defenses have given up or gave up in 2021. 77. Now, this is three playoff games. 77, 67, and 70.
Not
in,
bad.
In the playoffs.
Not bad at all.
In the playoffs. 2022, 104, 76, and then they lost a game when they gave up 148.
That'll do it. I mean, you let a team yeah. start yeah. running up and down.
But now
control the clock and such.
Let's look at last year. Big win in the opening game of the playoffs. They gave up 56 yards.
Yeah, man.
Rushing.
Shut them Browns down, boy.
Like D'Amico Ryans has been in the playoffs as a player, as an assistant coach, as a coordinator, and is now as a head coach. His defenses have always played to another level in the postseason.
Yeah,
and so
that's
he flips a switch.
No, seriously. But it's not like from nothing, or I shouldn't say nothing, that's not fair, from struggles periodically like the Houston offense to all of a sudden, oh, yeah, they're going to be lighting up the scoreboard. No, they've always been good. They've gotten great. You know, they've gotten great in the postseason. And then you start looking at this team, and outside of that nickelback position,
yeah, that was, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
I was, my negative brain, as I think you guys have come to understand, immediately was like, But Nickelback, what are we looking
but
at?
But let's look
there?
Beyond that.
But beyond that,
defensive
yes.
line never looked better, never looked healthier.
Oh, boy.
Right?
And I'm going to be real happy to see Foley back out there, especially to be able to, you know, really control the run. Mm-hmm. J.K. Dobbins is very good at explosive run. We talk about explosive plays. Yeah. J.K. Dobbins has a really high explosive run rate. I'll have to get you the exact number on this because I was looking at it last night. And, of course, it's on one of my many tabs that mm-hmm. I have open. But J.K. Dobbins' explosive runs are possible. This is a good defensive team when it comes to stopping the run, and Foley's a part of that. But, yeah, defensive line is huge.
Now let's go to linebackers. Same thing. Never looked
full
better.
Full compliment, baby.
Never looked better. Never been as healthy. I mean, and by the
Agent,
way.
Agent Zero in Harris County.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even think I can call him Agent Zero.
Thank you for saying that. And by the way, linebackers in the postseason have been monsters for DeMeco, whether it's in San Francisco or here.
And, I mean, some of that is like, hey, look at the names. But, I mean, Fred Warner, yeah. Dre Greenlaw, those types of guys. Like, hey, you can put Aziz right next to that, and Christian Harris absolutely has that capability.
But last year, Christian Harris, we've all seen the video. DeMeco brings him over on the sideline, says, hey, if they do this, you can jump that route.
Turn up.
What happened? Pick.
Yes.
Yes. So now let's go to the secondary, the third level. I mean, Kalen Bullock, he's been on something of a roll. Should have had another
interception. Sorry, who is that again?
Kalen Bullock.
There it is.
Has been.
Mama call him Bullock, I'm going to call him Bullock. Understood?
I'm not sure that's true, though. We have to ask him. But anyway.
I don't know his mama.
Anyway.
Both respectfully.
Mm-hmm. Should have had another interception, playing well. Kamari Lassiter, we know the season he's had. Expect him to play better. And then Derek Stingley, go ahead and shut that fool down. You know, like he did against last year. In the playoffs,
yeah.
Amari Cooper.
Yep.
Like, the secret sauce is DeMeco and his, what his defenses can rise to in the postseason.
And I 100% agree with you, and I feel like everybody agrees with you in that regard. Earlier today when we were talking about Bobby Slowick and the ways that he was talking about this offensive staff having mm-hmm. honed in on what they do well, you know, the skepticism that arises that we brought to the table, mm-hmm. to be honest, was there. But somebody texted in, I think that they're absolutely right. The fans' hope in this team is C.J. Stroud and DeMeco. And when I say DeMeco, it really speaks to, like, the entirety of this defense.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about it for me within this is, you say it's the secret sauce. This is the whole package at this point. Like, and that's the concerning part. It's like, can you do this all defense? You know, can you do it in that way? And the answer is likely no. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think that you can just, hey, the defense is going to drag a team to a victory. You're going to need some add-in. But when it comes down to it, that says less about the defense. We know the defense is going to be great. And honestly, I think that you've laid out a pretty good case on why I think the defense can be exceptional unless Greg Roman does a really good job of, like, pinpointing certain places mm-hmm. to attack. And I don't know that I feel strongly about Greg Roman doing that to a high level, but he does a great job of crafting up a run game. Thankfully, strength on strength there. For this defense, like, no, I feel great about what's going to happen with that matchup of Texans defense versus Chargers offense. What scares me is the other one.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. But, you know, they've been able to get it done defensively. And then, you know, you talk about, you know, peaking at the right time or raising your game, whatever you want to call it. You know, not only are they fully complement, you know, is the full complement there and are they healthy on the front seven, but his defense is, again, hasn't been against the Titans, you know, in week 18. It's been against playoff teams. Five sacks, these are in the wins. Five sacks, three sacks, four sacks, two sacks.
Is that good?
That's good.
Okay.
I mean, they get pressure on, he figures out a way to get pressure on the opposing quarterbacks.
Yeah, and this text is spot on from the 2A1. We need that same DeMeco effect on the offense. And I think this is the clear dichotomy and the reason why I've really crystallized of late my opinion with this offense is DeMeco, what you're seeing there is the clear schematic advantage that is being given by having that particular person calling your defense
mm-hmm.
and organizing your defense.
And this is no disrespect to anybody else, but DeMeco calls this defense. I mean, you know, it is his baby. So he, you know, he's been.
And of course,
here.
Like there's a lot of other things that are yeah. like I'm sure Matt Burke does a lot in organizing the defense throughout
Absolutely.
The week, right?
And influences so, the calls, maybe.
100%.
You know, I'm sure he does. In fact,
it felt like and I know that we don't have any of the audio, but in listening to Matt Burke in his availability, I think there was a question about asked of him about like something to the effect of like what it brings to have D'Amico calling the defense. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Matt Burke, for a moment, you know how you get in your feelings.
Hey,
for
man,
a
I'm sitting right here.
Hey, dog. No, and I think he kind of alluded to it by saying, I mean, it's a team effort. You know, like we all kind of put in as if to say, hey, man, the rest of these defensive assistants, we not just sitting here looking at D'Amico. We putting stuff in here too. Exactly. And I do believe that, right? Like this is a full compliment. I know that they've given a lot of credit to your defensive line coach mm-hmm. on making sure that these dudes are playing at the level that they are. But yeah, no, I think that there's also just something to be said for the head of the snake, which is D'Amico Ryans, and making sure to get these guys. And like you mentioned, things as small and minute as bringing over Christian Harris and giving him a little bit of game that allows him to have an additional level or something mm-hmm. additional over his competition, so that his talent can now also be elevated by some information that allows him to go and make a great play.
The most intriguing things for me that I think D'Amico is really, you know, the wheels are turning, so to speak. Is those linebackers, specifically, you know, Christian Harris on the field, a full go with Aziz Al-Shaair. I think he's going to do some fancy stuff, because his linebackers have been the difference makers everywhere he's been.
Yeah.
Like, absolute. So now you got these two dudes. One's going to be a star. One is, I guess you could say, a star, maybe not a superstar in Al-Shaair. And that's where he hinges, you know, all the things that they do in front of him and behind him.
Yeah, and with Aziz, I don't know if he needs to be a superstar. What he needs to be is a quarterback of the defense. Like, that's one of the things that's beautiful about that particular position. And this is what you got Aziz for, mm-hmm. right? The rest of the season, that was gravy. Like, having him here in these moments, right. like having that veteran guy that has a level of experience, that has a really almost like a mind meld tether with D'Amico, with mm-hmm. the understanding the ways that his defense works and the ways that the expectations that he has from his defense. Having that floor general, so to say, or that fields general, I imagine is going to be huge in this game. I'm looking forward to like incredible play from this defense.
I am too.
This is where the confidence comes from me. 100%.
Look, I think things I want to see is Christian Harris getting to work, but really, Kalen Bullock. You know, he's just been. It's almost like a mirror image of what Christian Harris was last year. Well, he's really good. Well, he's making some plays, and then in the postseason, this guy's going to be a star.
Yeah,
you know? And I think Bullock could be that. Or Bullock.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Gosh, man, just can't say this name. No respect. No, but I am interested, though, like how that feeling and the clear ball hawking ability and just being in the right place, the nose for the ball, if mm-hmm. you will, for Kalen Bullock, how much does that get negated by the fact that this Chargers team just seemingly is really good at not turning over the football.
Yeah.
Right? Is that something that we feel like can be generated? Like, can you generate the pressure to put Justin Herbert in that place to maybe...
He doesn't turn the ball over, that's for sure.
Not if you don't get pressure on mm-hmm. him, right? So, like, are you capable of generating enough pressure to have the back of the defense benefit from the front of the defense with Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson Jr. actually getting in there and touching him a little bit
mm-hmm.
and, you know, putting some heat, heating up his kitchen to the point where now he's putting up some footballs that are possibly ones that could be brought down by Kalen.
All you need is one. And by the way, how profound is this? Maybe profound isn't the right word. How weird is this?
Don't worry. I, you know they listen over there.
At Houston Texans, thank you for listening, social media team.
And thank you for all you do. Y'all do a great job.
They do a great job. They just posted what I was just talking about as spoke it into existence. Mm.
You just hang right there and just play the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Play the quarterback. As soon as he snaps, you step in front of it, go pick.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you.
Fourth and two from the Browns 33. It's picked off. Here we go to the left 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Christian Harris. Second pick six of the game.
Zone defense. So here's Harris. His eyes are on the quarterback. And at the last minute, he breaks underneath.
Man, that's weird. It's a sign.
Mm.
I just mentioned it. They just tweeted it. And that's going to be, I mean, that's what we're talking about.
I love
about
that
here.
Moment right there.
Oh,
man.
That was so good.
I ain't going to lie. A lot of people always bring up the J.J. Watt pick six.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this one is up there, man.
It is. It absolutely
this
is.
This pretty much was like a J.J. pick six.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go there with you, dog.
Hey, man, this was D'Amico Ryan's first year with the Houston Texans.
He called his shot.
But nobody picked them against the right. Browns.
Mm-hmm.
And that pick six right there, the game was over at mm-hmm. that point, man.
I hear you, but.
Oh, there he goes again.
You're on the right track.
Literal first playoff game
yeah.
and you've done gone and scored a touchdown. They get the ball back, and you go and put it up two score.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, man. I don't know if I can go with you.
Hey,
there,
that's
bro.
Cool, though, but if you look at the bigger picture,
I hear what you're saying.
You know what? We're going to put a pin in this one. We're going to circle back at another time where we can find some alignment. You know what I'm saying? From the 281, Jared Goff didn't turn the ball over before playing the Texans. Then he threw five picks versus this team. I get that, and I don't know. I have a low level of hesitation, and maybe I'll look foolish. You know what? That's cool. It'd be like that sometimes.
But, I think that's a sign, man.
That's
a sign. But it's going to happen.
But see, I've never had questions about the defense, though. I think
I think we're going to see more magic, man. We're going to see, you know,
magic from what?
Like the defensive side, like stuff like that. That's not. We know they're good. But we've been talking about how he raises the level of this defense in the postseason. I think we're going to see that.
I feel like they always had that, though, man. I just the offense scares me. Like, what are we going to get from the offense?
Agreed. Well, I mean, if he gets some secret sauce and some defensive touchdowns, then we're going to be in a spot.
Lopez, stop checking out the girls behind, man. What you
doing?
They're doing
some funky dance.
Is it the tighten up?
I don't know what it may be.
It might be doing the tighten up.
You never know what you're going to see at a radio station.
Yeah.
Actually, you do. Most of the time, it's just...
It's bizarre.
Most of the time, it's just microphones and empty hallways.
Well, there's that.
All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Thanks for hanging out with us. I think I lied to you because I said I was going to get you some updates from practice, and I got so engrossed in the secret sauce conversation that I didn't check on that. So we'll see if we can get you those. However,
put a pin in that.
We will put a... Man, y'all should probably hate me.
Let's run it up the flagpole and see if we should come back.
Yeah. Y'all really should. Man... I'm sorry about that. I really started some 2 days in a row. I've started shenanigans that I probably shouldn't have.
It's good. That's why we're here, man.
One was milk yesterday. Mm-hmm. And again, apologies. And then two, now it's all the cliches. I really do. I'm sorry for that. What I'm not sorry for is that coming up next, we'll get some lunchtime confessions.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions on Sports Radio 610.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
So we all have certain phobias, you know, and maybe y'all are going to mention what phobias you have. I never realized how big of a phobia... Because, like, some people are scared of snakes. Whatever. I'm not a fan, but I don't freak out. You know, alligators, I've dealt with them a lot. You know, I keep your... they don't really... It's not like, oh, my God, an alligator. I've dealt with them on the water and stuff like that. Wildfires, man. That wildfire has just got me shook up. Every time I turn on the TV or open some page, I didn't know wildfires could be that big of a phobia for me, but that's got to be... It's terrifying, man. Like, you're just surrounded by fire. We mentioned earlier, it looks like hell on those streets. Like, I'm like, and the thing is, it's a California thing. It has been, you know, there's been a lot of instances. A
lot of wildfires.
But it could be anywhere if you get these ingredients. Drought, yeah, we get those here. High winds, we for sure get those here. Sure. You know, some numbskull, you know, starting a fire.
95% of wildfires apparently start by humans in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, it's like, you know, phobia, I'm not really like a whole lot. I'm sure there's some that I haven't thought of, but that one I'm like, dude, this could happen literally anywhere with no prediction, you know, no warning.
Yeah, I try not to, you know, lean into like the idea of phobia necessarily in myself, but I got a healthy level of respect for a lot of things that I'm like, hey, we not playing with. Yeah. One of those that immediately came to mind is just like knives. Like, you know, obviously not like necessarily like cooking knives, but like somebody has just kind of like a knife.
Careful with that now.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, man, be careful, man. We're not trying to do nothing accidental and do something bad, right?
Yeah.
Heights. With something I'm not comfortable, but it's not gonna like.
But planes, no, just buildings.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That's a common one.
Yeah, heights is mine too. Although I was a big roller coaster guy, but when it comes to like being up high and it's just in the building, I don't want to get too close to the edge.
Exactly right. Yeah. Like a healthy respect for it. Like I'm not going to like pass out. However. I'm not going to be out here standing right on the edge with just inches away from the edge. Absolutely not, right? What happens if a strong wind comes or whatever? But no, I think you're right. Like, man, these wildfires have been terrifying. One of the things that got me, I think it was, I don't remember which one of these LA stations, but they had, you know how, and this is some, I guess this is a mini confession myself. I absolutely hate that, like, we do the TV thing where we send a reporter to be in the middle of this natural disaster. Hey, you should evacuate, except we're going to send somebody in there. And so there's a dude standing, like, uncomfortably close to, like, the
embers
wildfire stuff.
Flying all over their heads.
Literally, there are embers that are flying past this dude with his N95 mask on, and he sees somebody evacuating on a bike carrying, like, pictures and stuff. And it's just like, what are we doing?
Exactly.
That just looks, it looks post-apocalyptic, being, like, in the midst of it.
It's so, like hell.
A lot of,
it looks obviously, like hell.
At the risk of being cliche again, sincerely, thoughts and prayers with the people that are going through that. I know that for a lot of these kind of a lot of the entities that are doing work out there, you want to kind of send physical goods and stuff for the people that might need it, who might have lost things. But funny enough, and it sounds kind of crass, the thing that those kind of entities need most is money, because they can do things in bulk and, you know, kind of more effectively. So if you're so inclined, you know, to kind of share.
Yes, please do.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be a great way of going. These are my confessions. The callback that comes on the text line from the 832, phobia of people who drink milk. That is hilarious. Wouldn't call it a phobia. A little distrust, though, to be honest. I realized, as this is a confession in itself, I realized the confessions that I wrote down, both of them used on air already. Because one of them was going to be that I truly and sincerely believe that Cavs Thunder is the best basketball game I've seen in a long time. I was willing to go at least in a calendar year. Like, I sat down for that game and I felt stuck. Like, I watched the first 6 minutes of basketball and I was like, yo, this is really good. I mean, these dudes are finding shooting at a high clip, driving the ball well, a lot of driving kick, good quick pass, crisp passing.
Third quarter was just ridiculous how good that was.
And again, really good defense where I'm like, yo, good switch, good help defense. Like, good, you know, there's not like just defensive lapses. It's just good offense beating, you know, or good defense being beaten by better offense. And I was just like, oh. And I legitimately was stuck on my couch for, what was it, 2.5 hours until it ended. And I was like, okay, now I'm free to do other things, because I felt like I was in a trance watching the best basketball I've seen.
That's a good confession. We didn't really talk about it in a while, so that's more than adequate.
Yeah, now I was so locked into this game. I'm like, man, like the pregame is taking a long time. Like it's 6:15. Let's
go.
Let's go. And then the commercials. I'm just like, man, what? Like, why is halftime so damn long?
Yeah, all right,
get back to sports.
Hey, they didn't want the Kevin and Ellie Duncan. Yeah. I'm like, what are we doing, man? I don't need no sports in it. Let's get back
to the game.
So it was a clip kind of going around Jason and Travis Kelce on their podcast.
Yes.
And shout out to Sideline Sarah. She do a lot of you know, clipping posts and videos. She do a really good job. I don't know who she is, but she do a good job on social media.
Salute.
But she reposted a video from their podcast pretty much saying Jason and Travis Kelce discuss wild card games, what wild card games are going to be the most electric, and then mention Chargers and Texans, pretty much saying this what they had to say on the podcast.
The one that I'm definitely not watching is Houston versus Chargers. I don't know why. That one's like not even, that's the least interesting game to me. Is that fair?
I'm watching it because I think that's probably who the two teams I'm going to play. Yeah,
right.
So, I mean, I thought it was kind of fair. I ain't really take it as a shot. But Jason Kelce,
shot, dog, man, it's only how many games this weekend, boy? If you don't sit down and watch this football,
hey, he's busy. Yeah, so, he's got a girlfriend.
So Jason Kelce asked,
he's got a wife.
Hold on, you got to put Jason Kelce out here.
Breaking news. Whoa, dang, man! I know he worked for FS1.
That's great. Hey,
that's gonna be my next confession. But
but Jason Kelce actually responded to Sideline Sarah's tweet and said this was a response to a YouTube TV hypothetical question. If all games were on at the same time, which four games are you watching? I am absolutely watching all of the games because playoffs are also, why would you mislead your followers? And I gotta confess, I felt like I kind of get where he's coming from, but I didn't really take it like that. I felt like it was kind of a fair question.
It was absolutely fair if it was his actual opinion.
Yeah, I don't think
general.
She really misled what he was what he was saying. And honestly, I felt like if I had to rank all these games, like I would probably rank Chargers and Texans towards the bottom because there's no real drama right there to me.
Saturday, 3:30 p.m. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know.
And I've already established. I'm glad that you started with saluting, because I do appreciate Sideline Sierra. I think she does some really good work.
Yeah.
Kind of collecting a lot of different audio from different places, or videos from different places, and bringing them to one place. However, I think I agree with Jason Kelce here, because just as you saying that, I did not realize that that was a context, and it seemed like it was just an individual held opinion that this was a game that he did.
No, that offers a lot of clarity.
And that clarity yeah. means yeah. a whole bunch here. Mm-hmm. And I mean, again, how you then take that and like how you interpret that is something else. But yeah, that feels a little different. So I do yeah. feel Jason yeah. Kelce in this.
But I, even with the clarity, I still feel like it's kind of accurate yes. a little bit.
No, I think so.
And maybe because I kind of follow Jason and I kind of know how they are, what their job is or his job is. I don't think he's just going to skip out on a playoff game.
No.
I don't think he's just going to say, nah, I'm cool on this game. he a football guy.
Yeah.
So he going to watch every single playoff game.
Sure.
So I ain't really take it for him like he just skipping out on this game because it's boring.
No, I think you obviously Reggie made a good point, but that's a good point. It's still that. It's still yeah. that game. These are my confessions. I got to confess, I respect Joy Taylor getting back on the horse, so to speak. At FS1.
You did say horse, right?
But she went.
You all right? You good? What happened?
She went out.
What's
there,
the horse name?
I don't know.
What is wrong with you?
She just
Charlie
like,
the horse.
All this stuff going on, she's like, screw it. I'm going out there. I'm going to do my job. Now.
What you mean, screw it? It's a work day.
What else are you going to do?
You act like this was an act.
Yeah, but you could have asked for time off. Hey, if you need some time for yourself.
You act like this is a statement.
No,
hey,
but
man.
How many bosses would say, hey, if you need some time for yourself to kind of get away, blah, blah, blah. She's like, nah, man.
I feel like that's not how it works when one of the bosses in the law.
I will say that I've noticed something, I was going to say very evident, not as evident. She's shopping at Lane Bryant now, man.
Hey, wow.
She's shopping at Lane. Like, her wardrobe.
The Lane Bryant thing.
Oh, yes. Like, her regular wardrobe, that ain't what she's wearing now. She's got the silencers on.
That's wild. But I also think that some of that is reverse shout out. I don't know what that is. But, yeah, I think that a lot of that is probably more due to finding out that Jason Whitlock was out here talking about peanut butter skin and all that. Mm-hmm. I bet that creeped her all the way out. Like, nah, yeah. We're putting all this under wraps.
You ruined it for everybody.
You ruined it for everybody.
Especially Tyler Milner.
Wow.
Got those silencers on.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
All right. These are my confessions. Gotta confess. I feel like, yes, the silencers. That the people are surprised by that particular phraseology.
I've always said that.
Unbelievable. I gotta confess that I still feel bad for the way that like people took the milk thing, right? Not the way people took. That's a weird way of saying that. But the way that the milk thing went over. However, I kind of love the audience and how you guys have embraced.
Oh, it's the best.
Because there's that, and now people are doing similar things with phobias. Because people are saying that they got a phobia of Latinos who are putting ketchup on tamales.
Lopez.
On the leftover tamales, I've made it very clear. It's very
Lopez
good.
Lopez is a ketchup eating son of a
not,
you know what.
Not on
tamales.
The fresh tamales that we make, on the leftovers that you warm up in the comal, you know, the little iron skillet type thing.
Okay.
Put a little ketchup on them. Ooh, baby, they're good.
Yeah, they said J-Lo Wildin. That is 100% the case. More, and I feel like you got to add more. More so than usual. That is the suffix that's necessary there. But yeah, those are your confessions here on a Thursday in the Loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next is a practice day, and also D'Amico Ryan's giving an address to the media. Let's get that next.
Live from the Mokarum Injury Lawyers Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Apologies from myself. D'Amico Ryan's, I got a little ahead of myself. We'll see if we can get that a little later. So you will hear, or we'll try and get you audio from the head coach as he's talking today as we're getting ready for Texans Chargers. But what I have as a peace offering, if you don't mind, is one, a text that came in on the text line, 713-572-4610, that says, I have a phobia of watching the Longhorns beat Notre Dame in the championship game. Oh, wait, that's John's.
No, No. I mean, I'm pulling for Notre Dame for financial reasons.
You'd be sick. You'd be sick if you got that particular situation.
Come on.
The one that feels like it's best situated for your pockets.
And no, then yes, the other that's way. Why. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's why. Yeah.
And then the Texas would have won a national championship game, and you know they're not going to be quiet about it.
No, it'll be irritating. But
you'll hear about it.
You know what? I sleep very well at night if you haven't figured that out by now.
It might be, but see, it might be worse if Notre Dame lose to Texas, because not only
I'll be heartbroken more because of that.
Yeah.
Because of the Notre Dame side.
But you losing money.
But I think he was talking about more because Texas.
I think it's all of it together.
Yeah. But see, losing money and Texas winning.
Yeah. That's possible. Double yes, hurt. Yes. I'd be heartbroken over. I got a good little payday there.
Man. I'd have fun with that. All right. What I will also have fun with. How about we do a little buy or sell?
Mm-hmm. Let's do a little buy or sell. Let's start with something that happened yesterday. And I'm not sure what I'm asking in terms of what you're buying and what you're selling.
That's always a good start.
It's an awful start, but I think you'll get what I'm talking about here in a second. Bobby Slowick said the Texans have honed in on how to be a productive offense over the past 3 weeks. So, are you buying or selling that he believes that? Or buying or selling, it's kind of two things, that they actually have honed in the last 3 weeks, which, as we've all seen, has not exactly been impressive offensively.
I am buying that he believes that, because, I mean, mm-hmm. I feel like he's been in a place where, hey, we have answers. We just got to go and actually execute the answers.
Mm-hmm.
But no. I am selling that. Like this feels like wishful thinking. With this, I mean, the whole idea of playing this regular season is that you got a pretty solid sample size, and we haven't seen them put this together in a real way.
Yeah,
I'm buying part of it.
That's what I'm saying. It's like two things going on.
Yeah, because I do think they probably going to try to do something totally different. I don't think they just going to roll out the same plan they've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't know if it's going to work. It might not work out pretty good, but. I don't see them rolling out the same plan they've been doing the way that offense been looking the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I'm buying that he believes that they've honed in, because that's all he's got right now. It's like, okay, this will work. You know, I'm not buying that they necessarily have honed in and shown us in the last 3 weeks. So, all right.
My man said explosives is what we do well.
He sure did.
All right.
So we played this yesterday, but it is a buy or sell as well. According to Justin Herbert, Jim Harbaugh told him this.
First time, maybe during offseason workouts or something that Jim said where you were like, this guy's definitely different.
I think when he talked about remembering the day that he was born was probably the first day that he kind of told us the whole story and how he remembered looking out the window, and I think it was a cold, snowy day. I really hope he does remember that. That'd be pretty cool.
It was a cold, snowy day.
My brother in Christ. This is going to be the selliest sell I've ever sell.
What is this place?
So you mean to tell me he came out of his mother. They did all the cleaning, swaddling, and they propped up that baby right next to the window and said, look outside right here at this cold snow. No! You ain't do none of that.
Right. Yeah, he like, hey, why you hit me on the butt? Ah! That hurt!
And it's impressive that he knew what snow was as soon as he was born.
He's like,
as he was born, he knew what snow was.
He looked down and he was like, we needed this.
Yeah, exactly.
We needed this.
All right, bye. I'm with you guys.
I'm obviously. Selling.
Obviously, we're all selling.
Can babies even like actually see for like the first 3 months? Like, what are we talking about here?
It's kind of like shadows, apparently, like, you know, according to doctors.
What's the earliest age you can remember?
I remember one thing when I was like 3 years old. It was my dad. We were selling our old house, and my dad was working on the bathroom sink. I mean, the bathroom bathtub. I remember 3 years old just kind of being there. But really.
I was hoping there would be some. Remember existing.
No, I remember seeing my dad working on the pipes.
Okay.
Like just as a baby, basically, 3 years old. Yeah. 3 years old.
I remember being three. Yeah. I remember being three at our old house and running around. I used to draw and all this other stuff. I remember going to preschool.
I do remember that.
I was like 4 years old. Mm-hmm. I this is kind of a weird fact about me. I can name all of my teachers up until like eighth grade.
That's lovely. Do you check in on any of them? Like,
It's one that I think I mentioned this on the show before. It's one. Somebody hit me up on LinkedIn,
mm-hmm.
and it was like, "Hey, remember your teacher from third grade, Miss Dixon?"
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, I remember. I thought she was about to say she passed away or something like that because she was like 60 years old mm-hmm. when I was in third grade.
At least she seemed like she's probably like 30.
No, she's still alive. Hey, she's still alive. And not only that, she said she had a some type of drawing or paper I did when mm-hmm. I was in third grade. Still Whoa. Had it. So she gave me her number and everything. I'm like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance
don't
to call no. her.
Don't do anything. Don't do that. Wow. I knew exactly where Lopez was going. Don't do that.
She got to be like 90 years old now, man.
Well, you know, some people, no. Just, no.
Crazy. yeah.
You remember yours?
What's weird is
I'm going through them in my head. I think I have one that I'm not remembering.
I remember, but I don't think I actually remember. Like, I feel like this is aided by years of, like, the stories that you're told or whatever. Mm-hmm. You kind of craft the story, but I do remember my third birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese.
There you
where,
go.
Where supposedly, well, again, this is the story. So I'm like, did I craft this myself with like pictures and stories? Or do I actually remember this where some kid tried to take my balloon at my birthday party? And apparently, I mean, he was bigger than me at the time. And apparently my recourse was to bite him.
I believe that.
Wait, hold on. Wait, no. Why do you believe that so readily? What, you think I'd be out here biting old. People?
Okay. Well, that was your only weapon.
Yeah. It was almost like you looked at me and was like, yeah, you look like
a biter. You look like a biter.
He's a biter.
No teeth. Yeah, you look like you'd be That's chomping crazy. People.
All right, this buy or sell, obviously, you know, it was last weekend, but Cooper Rush stood to earn a $250,000 bonus by playing instead of Trey Lance. Trey Lance played. Jerry Jones said he was unaware that he had that $250,000 bonus.
This is tough because whether it's buy or sell, I think this is very evident. Like, both of those could be true, mm-hmm. and it's evident that why you are so bad at this.
Yeah, well,
like,
that's true.
This is why he is so bad, because it could easily be either of these. It could be that he really and truly didn't know because there are things that slip his mind. And, hey, as a general manager, that stuff you should know.
Yeah.
And if not, hey, man, you being a real hater. Are you being a real jerk right now mm-hmm. to a dude who ain't like who's just kind of been there, done the job for you whenever you needed to, and also on top of that, like the added cherry on top, they traded for Trey Lance a year and a half ago, something like that,
mm-hmm.
and this was the first time they actually got out there and started him.
Yeah,
and he's about to be out of contract.
That's why I'm selling.
Like, are you stupid?
Jerry Jones knew that was $250,000.
Yeah. Billionaires know about money.
Yes, they do.
They know money,
yes,
man.
They do.
So I don't think he had no idea.
And the incentive stuff was all over everywhere. You know, he had to. I mean, he watches social media. People talk to him
I wasn't listening up there, but I bet they've been talking about the incentive.
Yes,
thing.
That yeah. too. And on the show that he's on.
He listens to the radio.
Yeah, if he don't know, his team for sure know.
Yeah. All right, buying or selling. Browns general manager Andrew Berry said that Deshaun Watson suffered a setback in his recovery from a torn Achilles.
I buy that.
Oh, God, no. God, no. They are angling.
He suffered a setback when they sent somebody out there to hit him over the back.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, what you mean?
Yeah, I was going to say, I kind of buy it, too, because you just going to set back over here.
Exactly.
Your career is over.
That's the setback?
You know, just set back over there.
Set back over there until 2027. Hey, look,
you're going to get your contract, but we're going to get this relief. Like, you know you don't want to be here. You know you only came here for the money.
Yeah.
So we're going to do you a favor, bro.
You know what this sound like to me? And we
mutually
should
parted ways.
Yeah,
yeah, we know this being a Houston insurance fraud. That's what it feel like to right. me. Hey,
yeah, this is true.
Hey, you are injured, buddy.
Yeah,
I like
you
that.
Hear me.
You're gonna set back over here.
Yeah, I never heard anybody say I had a setback or GM say I had a setback.
It happens.
Yeah, but then he's on TikTok dancing with his girl.
But that's
regular movement. He got football plans setbacks. Come on now.
Yeah, he's sitting back over there.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm.
How about this, buy or sell? Dolphins general manager Chris Greer said this week Tyreek Hill has not asked for a trade.
I'm buying that.
Yeah, I'm buying that.
I don't think he asked to be traded.
I'm buying it, but I think it's his agent that asked to be traded. See, this is one of those where...
semantics.
Your word choice and your semantics, you can be completely honest.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill has not asked for a trade.
Yep.
What about his agent? Tyreek Hill has not asked for a trade.
Yeah.
I mean, I do buy it. I just think there has been a request.
Yeah. No, I think Tyreek Hill said, hey, it's over. Yeah. You know, it's time to move on. Mm-hmm. But necessarily didn't ask for a trade. Maybe it could be a release mm-hmm. or something. I don't know. But, yeah, maybe he probably didn't ask for a trade.
All right, so we talked about Tennessee and Florida. Well, we talked about the Florida game against, you know, when there was such a good game. How about Tennessee at Florida getting run out the gym, as some people say, by 30 points? Number one, Tennessee loses for the first time by 30 at Florida. Afterwards, Rick Barnes said, "I think this is good for us."
I sell it because if we're talking about cliches that I hate, I absolutely hate this one, right? Yeah. We needed that loss.
Yeah.
No, this is cope. You are coping. And I understand, like, I buy it in that once you lose the game, this is what you got to do to get people, like, to make that
get
loss.
Their attention, yeah.
That loss is not entirely useless to you, right? It's not just, like, all negative. Can we turn this into a positive, something that will motivate us to be better in the next instance that we need to get out there on that floor or what have you? But nah, man.
Yeah.
Nah, bro.
They lost by 30, man.
You ain't need to get your pants pulled down and spanked. That is not, nobody ever needs that. Mm-hmm.
That's called trying to find the positive thing out of all of this.
Silver lining. Exactly. That's all what you're trying to do. But yeah, shout out to Rick Barnes. Actually, I will give him this credit. For the longest time seeing him coach at Texas and even early on in Tennessee, that was the dude that you knew was going to go ahead and falter. And he's put together some really good Tennessee teams that look like they actually get over the hump a little bit.
No, they've been really, really good. All right, one more here. Kevin O'Connell, rumored to be a coach that might be traded, said, "This is where I want to be. This is where I want to keep coaching and leading."
I buy that. Sincerely, I buy that because one of the things that has become abundantly clear, especially during this coaching cycle, carousel, what have you, situation matters a whole bunch. Mm-hmm. Like, institutional investment, having a working relationship with your front office, all of those things matter. And it feels like he has one that he is pretty comfortable with, where, you know, working with the general manager and with, you know, like all, there's a level of alignment all the way up the organizational charts. And I feel like that matters. Now, I think probably what you might be alluding to is like actually having a quarterback or what have you.
That's what I'm alluding to.
That is a little interesting, but I think that we're seeing more and more that coaches, it's not just, hey man, if I have a quarterback, do I have all the other things around me that make me feel comfortable and empower me to do my job to the best of my ability? And I think for him, it is largely a yes.
Yeah, I'm buying it too. I think they, I don't want to say he built it from the ground up, but he started there and kind of worked his way up. I don't see him just jumping boat to another project or anything like that. I think he do have something there, and they going to lock him up to a deal.
Yes, yeah. Don't forget, D'Amico's like, hey, man, you can't be moving the family around. You know what I mean? Like, you got to feel real sorry for, you know, the family in these moments when they have to move around.
And everybody that I've ever known that played at Minnesota or coached at Minnesota.
Oh, that's a, yeah.
They love it.
That is a place.
No, it's a good place.
They love it.
It's a good place. And I know a lot of people laughed at I think somebody from the Knicks got traded to Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. And was that Julius Randle? Oh, yeah. No, Julius Randle or Dante DiVincenzo? No,
it was both of them. But okay. Julius Randle, I think his family, his girl or whoever, said they was kind of excited about that. Mm-hmm. And people kind of laughed at it. I'm like, no, that's a good place if you have like a family.
Yeah.
You don't want the big city. Everybody can't live in New
York.
Everybody
talks about the cold and all that, but they love it.
You say the big city. Minneapolis ain't no small place. Like, yeah. It's a pretty nice city. And then more importantly, them people, they cherish their legends.
Yes.
Like that is a really that's a really loving fan base.
Yeah. Like I said, it's a good place that's not like hectic like a New York.
Mm-hmm. And they have tunnels everywhere. So, I mean, whatever, above ground walkways.
Yeah.
I was like, how does a tunnel happen? I'm just going to tunnel through this air right here.
No government tunnels.
Got to get through the ice first. No, but they have those.
Got to open your third eye. Yeah.
That's right.
Government got tunnels under here,
it's
man.
It's a whole underworld down here.
That's exactly right.
I guess that was a really weird iteration, but a fun one. A buy or sell here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Somebody said, if the weather is like this, well, what's there to love? Yeah.
Hey, it's not for me. I'm just saying people who've been there love it.
Hey, it's people that have been there all their lives and have no issue with it.
Yes.
Also, I don't know. Is the weather like this or is the weather less? Like, I understand we getting a little cold, but we might be wild trying to say that this is the Minnesota weather. I feel like they get a lot closer to
they barbecuing out here in this type of weather.
This is summer.
Well, again, not in this weather. We're getting a little rain, but like just the general cold. Yeah, I
feel man, it used to be about 50 degrees. People used to be outside barbecuing in Cleveland. Yeah, man. Like, oh yeah, weather breaking.
That's the thing I'll never forget. The year I spent in Kansas, man, I was out there, and I was like, man, it's cold. And after by my second semester, when we hit March and it was like 50 degrees, I was like, yo, let's go outside.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go do stuff. And I was like, I never, never. 50 degrees?
We used to be out there hooping. Yeah. Like, once the snow clear, all that stuff.
I was out there in shorts. We was out here like.
Shorts and t-shirts.
Playing frisbee and stuff.
If it get hot enough, you take your shirt off.
And I was like, never again. So, yes, it just hits different. All right. Coming up next on In the Loop. How about this? There's 14 teams in the playoffs. How do you power rank them, and where would the Texans fall? 713-572-4610. We'll do that next.